blessing. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing. Psalter 247, stanzas 3, 5, and 6. Before the hills in order stood, or earth received her frame, from everlasting thou art God, to endless years the same. 3, 5, and 6 of Psalter 247.
scripture reading for this afternoon can be found in the epistle of Paul the Apostle to the Hebrews, there of the 10th chapter, the first 18 verses. Hebrews chapter 10, but first we read the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father, Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Hebrews chapter 10. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never, with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually, make the comers thereunto perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered? Because that the worshippers once purged shall have had no more conscience of sins. But in those sacrifices there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, Sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, Lo, I come, in the volume of the book it is written of me, to do thy will, O God. Above when he said, Sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings, and offering for sin thou wouldest not, neither hadst pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then said he, Lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the last. But the which will we are sanctified, by the which will we are sanctified, through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified, whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us. For after that he had said before, This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my law into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin thus far.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. O Lord of heaven and of earth, the callings unto us and our children do continue. When death climbs into the windows of those in our midst, both young and old, and thou knowest each and every one that standeth before thee, then to give an account of all that he has done, whether it be good or whether it be evil. O Lord, we cannot stand before thee. We would only perish, or that thou may give us also to see the necessity that our sins and our iniquities may be forgiven. Oh, we have heard in these moments of that new covenant, a covenant that is so one-sided, wherein thou sayest that what thou wilt do, because thou canst not trust us to do. When we have ruined everything in that first covenant, turned it all upside down, broken it, so that we are no longer able to fulfill its conditions, that still call unto us, do this and thou shalt live. But thy servant does confess that we are weak through the flesh. Lord, thou hast made a new covenant with thy own dear and beloved Son. Everything fulfilled from thy side, from the divine side. Thou makest a covenant through him with thy own people, as saying in their hearts, I will write my law. O Lord, could it please thee to write that law within the heart of each and every one of us? Oh, that we might love thy law as thy servant did love it, that we might meditate upon thy law day and night, oh, that we might strive with all our hearts to keep thy law, to find out that we cannot keep thy law to satisfaction, oh, that we might need that forgiveness that is also in that covenant. Their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. All from the side of thy dear and only begotten Son. O Lord, give those who carry a burden in their life to see it with the eye of saving faith, that they may be given to look upon thee for a moment in this afternoon hour, that they may receive a little rest upon the journey from that burden that they must carry, that thou may also be pleased to make it to fall from their shoulders. O Lord, that thou may work in both young and old, look upon those that mourn. Thou knowest how quickly one has been taken away even while he is still a young husband and a father. Lord, care for all those that mourn and those that mourn the loss also of a father and grandfather and great-grandfather. Lord, supply for all the needs of all those that weep and sorrow in this world, that thou may look also upon those that are sick. I heard that it was brought to the hospital in the day of yesterday. Also, as she needs the care of thee, that heavenly physician, to watch over her and all those that are afflicted by this disease that thou dost send in thy judgment. O Lord, give us ears to hear, and give us hearts to understand. Turn us away from all of our iniquities. Watch over and protect us with our children, and that thou may bring us back again unto thy footstool. Oh, to seek thee with all our heart, with all our might, and with all our strength. Look upon us, each and every one, in all the cares and concerns in the midst of the life that thou hast given us here below. Thou dost chastise thy own church. Thou wilt not let them continue in the way that we would go, with our flesh and everything that is within us. But Lord, could it please thee to bring us all back? Oh, turn us, disappoint our flesh, become too strong for us. Wilt thou be Lord over us and bring us in the dust of self-abasement before thee? We can present nothing before thee, not a sacrifice here in the midst of this world. Then there is not a desire, and that is pure and true in us, that cometh not from thee. O Lord, we beseech thee then to take reasons out of thy dear and only begotten Son. O Lord, to whom else shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. O come then and speak unto us and our children. Draw us, Lord. We will run after thee. Instruct us in all thy truth in this hour. Give us a little freedom and liberty to proclaim thy word of truth faithfully as thou hast written it, and that we may be given the wisdom to take forth the precious from the vile, that thou would indeed be as our mouth, and that thou may give also new ones to be born in Zion. Look upon all those that labor in thy kingdom, and both far and near. Wilt thou grant true conversions also in the places where thy word is brought, in far away? Remember also where it is brought in our own denomination. Do increase the number of thy truly sent servants. Lord, we cannot bind it upon the heart of any man, for thou art the one who must send. And if a man sends, our Lord, we can only destroy everything, but that thou may give it in thy great goodness and mercy and long-suffering also to us as a denomination, that thou may look upon the upcoming generation, that thou may give servants that may go before them also, and that thou may gladden us with thy deeds in the weeks that are coming up. Remember our schools here and in Calgary. Look upon the teachers. Look upon the children. And wilt thou bless all the instruction that may be given in those places and in the homes where parents as the first instructors, mothers and fathers, do try to set an example of godliness before their children. O Lord, thou knowest how many of them must smite upon their own breast and to say, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. Show me the way and give me what is necessary to set that example before them. And bless thou my children despite me. O Lord, thou alone can watch over our youth in the many temptations that are before them, as set by the prince of this world before their eyes. O Lord, that thou thyself may put a wall and a fence about our youth and about our children. Take care of them as we are not able to do. Do remember those that rule and reign over us. Wilt thou look upon them and give to them hearts of flesh, that they also may be wrought upon by thy most holy Spirit, that they may be brought to bow before the King of Kings, that they might know who hast made them ruler over men, and that they might remember that thou hast also a law, that they must give an account to thee. Look upon all those that are afflicted and sick in the midst of this world. Remember the handicapped. Remember all that do suffer from serious diseases. Our sister may be with us in these weeks. Lord, she may commemorate in this day also that thou hast spared her another year in her life. Oh, so many afflictions and trials and tribulations. Could it please thee to grant her a blessing also in thy house this day? Our mother and brother also where they are. Lord, care for them also when they may be with us far away, Sabbath after Sabbath day. O Lord, we are all together upon our journey with our loved ones. Oh, then we cannot keep one another, and not forever. And this one and that one are falling away from us as families, as a congregation. O Lord, that we may be given to know and to feel that we have here no continuing city, and that we might seek one to come. Look upon us, O Lord, in this afternoon hour. We are not able to commemorate thy holy supper, as was our intention. And Lord, thou knowest the reason, but thou art able to give us to eat and to drink in this afternoon hour. Thou art able to come into our midst, and thou art able to give us remembrance of thee, even when in an outward way these things are withheld from us in these moments. Wilt thou look upon us then, and wilt thou supply for us in thy mercy, feed thy people, and wilt thou give new ones to be born in Zion, strengthen us for our labors, forgive all of our many sins, glorify thy own thrice worthy and holy name, for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter number 3, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Wherefore do the nations rage, and the people vainly dream, and that in triumph they can wage war against the King Supreme. 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter number 3. Beloved congregation, when a child is born into this world, he is largely ignorant. His heart beats, his lungs breathe, his life clings, his lips suck, but it is all in unconscious effort. That is not different when the Lord's people are born into this world through a true regeneration. Then faith is born. But that faith is so largely ignorant, and yet it breathes, it desires, it longs, it hungers, it thirsts, it pants. All of this is true saving faith. It is true that they are not able to distinguish it from that which is temporary, but these things are evidences, these things are fruits, these things are marks, they are manifestations of that true saving faith that is coming from God himself. True faith unites unto Christ. It comes out of him and it clings, it unites itself to him. But just like a child upon the breast of his mother, he does that actually in an unconscious effort. Sometimes the Lord takes his people away when they are young. Boys and girls, are you one of the Lord's people? Sometimes, just like David had a little child, and the Lord took that child that was his child, he took that child away from David, and then faith was in the heart of that child. But faith could not consciously believe. And yet that was a true faith. And the Lord took that child to himself. Those are special cases. All other cases do come, must come at one time, to exercise faith. That is, that they must be conscious of such an exercise. The Lord will give them to despair of all of their own righteousness. The Lord will give light upon the truth of his holy word. Some need to be cut off by the sword, just like Saul of Tarsus, just in a moment. Most have to die by hunger, but every one of them must die. And then they will be resurrected. And then they are like the souls of the martyrs. We read about them in the Word of God. John says, this is the first resurrection. They gave their life. They lost their life for the sake of Christ. But behold, we read, they live. Thus, that was, as it were, going into death. But on the other side of that death, they have suddenly been received into eternal life. That is now the way of that Spirit of the Lord. That is always life that is coming through death. He that will lose his life for my sake, the same, the Lord says, shall find it. Thus eventually that faith unites to Christ in a conscious way. Then there are bands. How does it unite? It is tied together to him. And those ties, those bands are manifested. They are shown through the hope, the expectation, that looking of faith, that clinging of faith, that waiting of faith, that hanging of faith upon that Son of God. And still, their knowledge of Him is very small. But the things that are to be known of Him are very, very many. Just like a little child born into this world, and you say, boys and girls, what does that child not know yet? But so much is to be known in the midst of this world. Like who his brother is, or who his sister is, and who his father is, and who his mother is. And so that is in that new life too. They know so very, very little, but so much there is to be known about the Lord Himself. How do they learn that? Say, well, they go to catechism. Yeah. You listen in catechism, right? Your mother teaches you and your father teaches you and you go to school and your teacher teaches you and, oh, is that the way they learn it? No. What does the Lord do? He brings them in the need. In the need. And everything that the Lord is teaching His people, He is bringing first the need, and then out of the need, He is bringing them into the knowledge of Himself. And thus we have heard already some of those names, the names of the Son of God that is for those who are lost. Then He reveals Himself as the Savior. And for those who are justly condemned before God, then He is revealing Himself as the Christ, the anointed of the Father. For those who are ignorant, then He reveals Himself as that great prophet and teacher. And for those who are guilty, then they might learn something of His priesthood. Or for those who cannot defend themselves from enemies within and without, then He is showing them who He is as King. So many ways that the Lord has revealed Himself in His Word, and that He may deliver those who are not able to deliver themselves. And now today, some more names. We have the Son of God and Lord. Who is that for? Who needs the Son of God? Who needs a Lord and Him as Lord? Is that us? We wish to consider that this afternoon out of Lord's Day 13 of our beloved Heidelberg Catechism. Lord's Day 13, which speaks about faith in God's Son, our Lord. First, in the Sonship of Christ, and second, in the Lordship of Christ. So first, question and answer 33. Why is Christ called the only begotten Son of God, since we are also children of God? Because Christ is alone the eternal and natural Son of God, but we are children adopted of God by grace for His sake. Question and answer 34. Wherefore callest thou Him our Lord? Because He hath redeemed us, both soul and body, from all our sins, not with silver or gold, but with His precious blood, and has delivered us from all the power of the devil, and thus hath made us His own property. Thus faith in God's Son, our Lord, first in the Sonship of Christ, and second in the Lordship of Christ. Why is Christ called the only begotten Son of God? Since we are also the children of God. Congregation, where does this question come from? True Church of God, the Lord Jesus says, is a persecuted church. If they have persecuted me, they shall persecute you also. And that has now been since the very beginning of that true church that have no power to deliver themselves from enemies that are without and from enemies that are within. Is that so for you too? And if you have no power, then what do you need? Well, I have no power myself. Then you need, you say, I need power from somewhere else. I need power from another. That is right. And how great of a power do you need? Well, if we think about Hannah, how great a power did Hannah need to deliver her out of her distress? Oh, you say she needed the power of God. That is what she needed. Could Hannah now do less, do with less than the very power of God himself to deliver her from all of her troubles? And can you do with less than the power of God himself to deliver you from the troubles of the case of your own soul? That is the need of the true church. We heard this already in Lord's Day 5. What sort of a mediator and deliverer then must we seek for one who is very man and perfectly righteous and yet more powerful than all creatures, that is one who is also very God. Thus do we need a Savior that is very God. Is the power of every other creature in this whole world insufficient to deliver you from the distress of your soul, or have you no distress of soul? And what is the distress of your soul? Is that distress in outward things, or is there a distress for which your heart did tingle and did go out when we read out of that word of God in this hour about that remission of sins? Is that now the distress of your soul? And what can you do about this? Or are you not able to apply one text of that holy scripture to your own soul? Can you not give to yourself one ray of light upon the holy word of God that may give you a little comfort and a little hope? Do you ever say, everyone around me, this one there, he is singing. And that one there, he is saying, come and hear, all ye that fear God, and I will tell you what he has done unto my soul. And you say, I have to run to my closet. And there I have to weep. And there I have to say, oh Lord, convert me. Oh Lord, convert me. You know what David cried? He said, Lord, be not silent unto me, lest if thou be silent unto me, I be like those who go down into the pit. O Lord, if thou art silent unto me, then I am going to die. Then I am going to perish. O congregation, what is now that help? What is now that power that you need, that you look for, that you desire, that you cannot miss? What sort of a mediator? One who is very God. That is now the testimony of that true church of God, that is in their poverty, that is in their weakness, that is in their helplessness, that is in their guilt. We have heard who that mediator is, our Lord Jesus Christ. We have heard that he is in one person, very God, and that he is at the same time a real righteous man. What a comfort for that true church of God. Oh, is that also now a comfort to us? Because the Lord will bring his people in that place where his declarations in his word of who that he is, that will be a comfort to his own people. Congregation, this is now a truth that has been attacked. It has been attacked by Satan, and that is not just yesterday, no. That has been even from the very, very beginning, because the devil is always trying to destroy the comfort of that true, sorrowing, and poor church of God. That is now what we hear in this question. Why is Christ called the only begotten Son of God, since we are also the children of God? What do you hear? Ah, then there is a suggestion there. Why is he called the only begotten? Well, maybe, could it be that Christ is actually the Son of God in the same way that God's people are the children of God? A suggestion in it, an attack in it, underneath it, that is against the true Christ and who is against the comfort of that true church. Why? Because if Christ is the Son of God in the same way that God's children are the Son of God, well, then the salvation of the church will not exist. Because that people, they are looking for a power that is much greater than the children of God here below have to give them. Because they cannot go to God's people, they cannot go to God's ministers, they cannot go to his prophets, to his evangelists, they cannot go to the kings here on the earth. No, there is no one. There is no one in this whole world that is able to help that people in the case that is theirs. Thus, it is of great value. To that people, are they also here? It is of great value to that people to establish the divinity of the Lord Jesus Christ over against the sonship of God's children, that the sonship of God and the special way in which he is the Son of God may be established for the hope and for the expectation of that true people of the Lord. Because it is true, both Christ and his church are described in the Word of God as God's sons. But they are sons in a very different sense. That is what our fathers say, because Christ alone is the eternal and the natural Son of God, but we are children adopted of God by grace for his sake. And our congregation, we cannot exhaust this subject today because this is so very, very broad. Thus, we can only say really a few things about this. The church, it is true, is also called the children of God. What a beautiful expression. What does that express? It expresses, congregation, a relation. A relationship with God. Is that ever a wonder? That is the relation of a father to his children. and who now is declaring that people to be his own children. It is not his children. No, it is the Father. Or is that now ever a wonder to us? Do you ever think about that, young people? You say, I have a father, children. I have a mother. I love my mother. I love my father. You lay in bed in the night. And then will you ask your own soul, what would that now be? If God was my father. If God would call me his child. Or is that not something to be searched for? Is that not a treasure to be gained in your life? What do you want more than this in your life? Do you want all the goods of this world? They will not give you the comfort. They will not give you the blessedness of this great blessing, and that you may be yourself a son of God. Thus God calls them his own, makes them as one of his family, and he will deal with them. He will treat them as a father in this world will treat his own children when they are part of his family. And we read our Father say this is called the adoption of children. We have also adopted children in our midst. And so what now of an adopted child? Is an adopted child a true son of his father, of his mother? You say, certainly he is. Because that is an adoption that comes out of a covenant. That is an adoption that comes out of an agreement. And that is a legal matter. Thus, an adopted child, he is truly a child. Because he is taken as a child, he is given and he is received as a child by these parents. And yet, that is not now by a natural generation. Thus, if Christ is God's son, in the same way that his church is their children, that is, if he were an adopted child, as it were, then he would lack what? Well, he would lack what comes to children by natural generation from their father and from their mother. And what does Christ receive from his father? By this natural generation, or we might say a supernatural generation, that is divinity. Divinity. Ah, is that not it? Is that not it? That you just say that is now the thing. That is now the power that I stand in need of for my soul. That is divinity. Thus, God be blessed, God be praised, that it is not so, that Christ is a child the same way that his children are children. John says, we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father. Thus, there is no one else in the whole world that may be called the same as Christ, the only begotten of the Father. He is not adopted by his Father. No, we read in God's Word that he is begotten of his Father. Say, what does that mean? Oh, we are just people. We have so little understanding, and we cannot understand and comprehend those infinite mysteries that are within that Holy Trinity. We can only know it by some of the expressions that are the Lord has given by inspiration in His holy Word of God, that He is the Son of God by an eternal and by a natural generation from His Father. Thus Christ was never not God's Son. We read, when there were no depths, I was there. That is in eternity already, before the creation, before the depths of this world. That is also before the very incarnation, that He was already existing as that Son of God. Because what does John say? He says that He was made flesh. Thus He existed as the Son of God, as the only begotten of the Father, and He was made flesh. He was incarnate. Again, He says Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. Paul says He took on Him the seed of Abraham. He himself says, before Abraham was, I am. Thus, that was already from eternity. The incarnation was not the beginning of this thing. Not only so, but the Lord Jesus says that as the Father had life in Himself, so hath He given that the Son may have life in Himself. Thus, what is that life that the Father has in Himself? That is the essence of His being. That is, He is God. He exists independently of everything and everyone else. He exists of necessity. It cannot be that God has ever not existed. So, John says, the Lord Jesus says, the Father has given the Son to have life in Himself. That means the same way that the Father has life in Himself, so that the Father is giving the Son to have that same life in Himself, that is necessarily, that is independently. And now, then the Father is giving His essence. He is giving His essence, His eternal essence, to the Son. That is not something that happened in time. That is something that has always been. It has been even from that never begun eternity. Thus we read in God's Word that the Son is the express image of the Father. Men and angels are also images of God. But they are not the images in the same way as Christ is the image of His Father. Because Paul says, unto which of the angels did He say at any time, Thou art My Son, this day have I begotten Thee. And again, I will be to Him a Father, and He will be to Me a Son. Thus, this day have I begotten Thee. That is speaking about the eternal day that the Lord has begotten and does beget. That is an eternal begetting and an eternal giving of His essence unto His own Son. Now, the history of the church that is filled with attempts to undermine this blessed truth. We think about the Pharisees already, whether they say, children, they said to the Lord Jesus, whom makest Thou Thyself? Because you say that you are the Son of God. But John says, that whoso denieth the Son, the same, he says, hath not the Father. And what does Christ say? He says, you who have seen me, you have also seen the Father. He says, because I am that express image of my Father, I receive my essence and that divinity from my Father. Thus the Lord Jesus has himself claimed this place. This place of being the natural and the proper Son of God, as the Jews did accuse him of saying, that he said he was the Son of God. He made himself equal with God. Indeed, that is what he claimed, that he is the Son of God. And that is now the hope. That is now the expectation of that poor church of God, whose case is hopeless without the power of his divinity. Let us sing 124, 1 through 4. My heart doth overflow. A goodly theme is mine. My eager tongue with joyful song doth praise the King divine. 1 through 4 of 124. Faith in God's Son, our Lord. First, the sonship of Christ. Second, the lordship of Christ. Wherefore callest thou him our Lord? What is congregation a Lord? A Lord is one who has a right over, upon something, someone. How does a person get rights to or over something? If you will make something yourself, boys and girls, you say, I will make it myself. You have some paper and some things. You can make something. And then what will you say? You will say, that is mine. And then I have a right to do with that because I made it. I have a right to do with that thing as I want. I can use it, or I cannot use it, or I can change it, or I can get rid of it. I can throw it away. So you have the right to that thing by virtue of the fact that you are its maker. In that sense, there is not a person in the whole world that does not belong unto the Lord Jesus Christ, because Christ is their creator. And thus, everyone belongs to him. He is, we read in the Bible, the Lord of all. He has the rights to every single person in the whole world, even the reprobate. Even devils, you say, well, is not the devil called by him the prince of the world? That is true. The prince of this world, Jesus calls him. And that is not because that he has that power in himself, but it is by permission that Christ gives Satan that power over men in this world. But whenever Christ wills, he casts them out. And he also is able to command that the devil would never return into such a person again. But now there is another way that we receive ownership. That is not only by virtue of creation or making something, but that is also when we purchase something. Thus also, when we purchase it and we pay a right price for it, then we say, that is mine, and then I have rights to this thing. And this is what our fathers point out here, because he hath redeemed us, both soul and body, from all our sins, not with silver or gold, but with his precious blood, and has delivered us from all the power of the devil, and thus hath made us his own property. So our fathers speak here, they point to the right of redemption that we read of in God's word. That is the right of the near kinsman, that he had the right to purchase the property of a brother, one that was in his own tribe, because that property was supposed to stay in that tribe. And he had the right, that near kinsman, to purchase that property and to redeem his brother out of his poverty. Thus Christ has become the near kinsman of his people, that near relation when he came into the flesh, when he became incarnate. And then as the near kinsman, he has received the right also to make this purchase. That is to purchase them, as our fathers say, and that is from all their sins, soul and body, with his precious blood, and delivered them from all the power of the devil. That was the purchase. Paul says, death hath no more dominion over them. So death, where does that come from? That is temporal, spiritual, eternal death. That is Satan's work. And now Christ's purchase, we read, that is purchasing that people and delivering that people from the power of death. Christ did not pay the devil. No, he paid his father. He has paid justice, the price of justice, in order to deliver his church from that power of death. Thus our fathers say, he hath made us his own property. Thus the church is owned, just like we own a piece of property. Then we say that property is ours. Say, we cannot do that with a man, to own a man. You say, well, slavery, that was in America not so very long ago. That is true. And yet, in fact, even those slaveholders were not deemed to be owning the persons. No, they were considered to have a right to their labor as having made a purchase. That is, you have a right to that too, employers. When you will pay someone, then you say, I have a right to your labors. Well, they also made a payment, and then they also had to take care of those slaves. And those slaves also retained their rights as a person. They could even go to the court. So thus, it is not possible as a human being to do as Christ does. Why? Because the church is itself redeemed by Christ and become his property. Thus, they are owned by him. That is their actual and their entire person. And thus, he is called their Lord. Thus, he has a right upon them and a right over them, having made them his own and paid a very high price for them. That was the price of his own blood. And he also takes care of them, just like we take care of our property. Right, children? Like you say, that is my bicycle, and I'm going to make sure that nobody steals it. That is right. And now you know what the Lord Jesus says, how he takes care of his people. He says, I care for them, in order that no man shall pluck them out of my hand, because they are my property. And no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. So the Lord Jesus owns his own church. What do we think about now this people and the blessedness of this people, of whom Christ, the Son of God, is their Lord? What does David say? He says, happy is that people that are in such a case. Yea, happy is that people whose God is the Lord. Do you think so too? Is that what constitutes happiness? Is that not greater than all what we think is happiness in the midst of this world? Solomon was himself a blessed type of him. But what does Christ say? He says, behold, a greater than Solomon is here, and peaceable is the kingdom of this king. Congregation, by nature, we will not have this man to reign over us. No. We see no beauty in him. We see no form in him. And we will not submit to him as our Lord. Do you know that we do not realize who did we reject to reign over us? Do you know what David says? Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and ye perish from the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him, O Christ, that is God's only begotten Son. And if you have a son, fathers, then what do you think when your son is despised by other people? Then that is cutting you to your heart. And when we will despise this only begotten Son of the Father, what do you think? Do you think eternity will be long enough for the Father to pour out his wrath upon everyone who would not have his Son to reign over them? And will indeed, congregation, that judgment not be very, very just? Congregation, is he then our Lord? Our fathers do not say here, wherefore callest thou him Lord? No, wherefore callest thou him our Lord? Say, how may I know that? If he is also my Lord, he is Lord of everyone, of his church, his true church, even from eternity. That is, even before regeneration, before that they are born again, and he is taking care of them. Mothers, fathers, we try to take care of our children, right? Say, I cannot care for them. That is right. But you know, if that child is now the Lord's, and even if it is not yet born again, then the Lord is taking care of that child. And that child cannot die. Whatever may come against it, and much will come against it, but that child must continue to exist, because the Lord also of that child is watching over his own possession. And so we have so many cares as parents over our children. Will not this now be your first care? Your first care. Because if our children may now belong unto him, if that may be the burden of our soul day and night, then they are in the hands of the Lord, who is God, who is divine, who has all power in heaven and in earth, who takes care of their bodies as we try to do, and who cares also for their souls as we are not able to do. Manasseh, congregation, was his own Lord. He was a Lord unto himself until that day that the Lord said, thus far and no further. Because he had another Lord over him, and he did not know that. And he tried to go his own way, but the Lord said, no, it will be my way, Manasseh. And the Lord brought him into the prison, and then the Lord taught him to fold his hands and to close his eyes. Who is Christ? Manasseh was a king. Manasseh had a hard heart. Manasseh was a wicked man. You too? You too, who is Christ, is the only begotten Son of God. Divine power. You know what it takes for him to stop a man? One word. One word. And then the chiefest of the sinners, persecuting the church of God, is laying on the ground. Does that give you hope? Does that give you hope? And the divinity and the power of the Son of God for such a creature as you are, that you say, today I cannot stop myself. I cannot change myself. I cannot make sin sin in my life. I have no eyes to see it. I have no heart to weep over it. Oh God. Oh God. Wilt thou come? Wilt thou stop me? Wilt thou turn me? Wilt thou draw me? The only begotten Son of God. Then he shows himself too strong for his people. That they cannot break out to do the things that all of the flesh wants to do. Is he your Lord? Does he show himself to be Lord over you? Say, how may I know that? If he is my Lord, do you know what he says? He says, you shall know that by the fruits. By the fruits. You know what will happen, young people, if he stops you? Well, just read your Bible. When he stops Saul, then what happened? What was the first thing? You know what Saul said? He says, Lord. Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And if he is your Lord, and the Lord stops you, that is what you are going to say. Did you ever say that? Then your whole life, that stops. And all those desires, and now you have a new desire. Oh, you say, may I give my whole life unto the Lord. That everything I do, that my whole heart would long for him, that it would cry for him, that I would no more serve this world, that I wouldn't be carnal anymore, that I would have a heart that lives in heaven, where Christ is sitting on the right hand of God. Oh Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Fruits, fruits. You know what those fruits are? Those are fruits that say, Lord, guide me. Oh Lord, keep me. When you get up in the morning, you say, what am I going to do today? Oh Lord, keep me. Keep me, keep me. Keep me from myself and from following the way of my heart, and make me true. And make me to love thee and to desire thee and to serve thee with all of my heart. You know what the Lord makes us? If he is our Lord, he makes us clay. Ever play with clay, boys and girls? And you take that clay and you say, I'm going to make something out of the clay. Whatever you want, right? You shape it this way and that way. Clay. And now if the Lord, he stops you, and then you become that clay. And you know then the Lord can do anything with you that he wants. Anything. Because we read in God's word that the Lord has a willing people in the day of his power. And then he can have influence over you. And then there are things that you are surprised. You say, oh, I never thought in my life that I would want to go in this direction and that I would desire to do that. Oh, that that house of God that became so precious to me, oh, that clay and then congregation in that time, you know, the Bible that speaks about a first love. And in that time, the Lord can't do anything wrong, nothing. Anything that the Lord would do with you, then your heart that is, everything is good. Everything is good. Then the Lord can do nothing wrong. It doesn't stay that way. Too bad. That people, they mourn for that later. That it doesn't stay that way. And they wish they could go back there. So that they could experience those things again in their life. Is he my Lord? If Christ is our Lord, then God's law is our rule. That is plain, right? Why? Because he is God. Because Christ is the Son of God. And then what happens in my heart? Then my heart becomes very tender. Then my heart does not want to step over a straw. Then my heart says, how shall I do this great wickedness and sin against God? Then it is not just in the eyes of men, no, but then it is in the eyes of God, and that I am living before God every moment, and he sees everything that I do. And then my heart has such a desire that I may please him. Oh, if Christ is our Lord, we will come congregation under the chastisements of the Lord for our sins, for our wanderings. Because what son is there that the Father chasteneth not? No, then the Lord will not continue to permit us just to do everything that we want to do. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Oh, there are some times that the Lord, as it were, has to put a bridle and a bit in our mouth. It's awful, isn't it? That we are not so willing. Or he has to take a fish and swallow us up and bring us to the place and to do the thing that our flesh did not want to do. And we feel something. And we feel something of divine power that I cannot resist and that I cannot go my own way. And why? Because Christ is Lord. And because Christ does not allow his own people, his own property, just to do everything that they want to do. If Christ is our Lord, then congregation, be sure he is going to strip away everything and that we look to within ourselves, to depend upon ourselves. Why? Because that Lord, he is looking to receive all the honor and all the glory in our life. And therefore all of our wisdom and all of our own righteousness and all of our works and all of our goodness and all of our wisdom, all of this, that has to go in order that the Lord may make place for him who is our Lord, and that we may receive instruction, and that we might know in our own heart that he is indeed our Lord. Do you know what the Lord will give? The Lord will give his people to know him. You say, how? Well, he will reveal himself. He will reveal himself also unto his own children as the Redeemer, as the Redeemer of their soul. Oh, then he will shine a little bit, a little ray of light. You say, it is not so much in my life. That may be, but just a little ray of light upon that Lord, upon that Redeemer, who has given that great price, that they might feel something, that they may experience something, that they are not their own, but that they belong to Him. And then in their own hearts, then they will say, how can it be that He has given such a price, that I go my own way, that I think of Him, and that I leave Him days without number. And that sometimes, then that Lord will give them to look to Him. Sometimes He will give him to trust in Him. Sometimes He will relieve them of the burdens that they feel that are upon their own shoulders. Sometimes then they may feel something of those everlasting arms of His, and that they are underneath them, and that He is their Lord, and that He is caring for them. Then if He is our Lord, He will lead us more and more into the knowledge of Himself, and thus into the knowledge of His own Father. How? Always in the way of going down. Always in the way of decreasing. That a person is becoming poorer and poorer. His whole life long. Doesn't go up. No, John says, He must increase. And I must decrease. Because He is Lord. And He will give them to know more and more in their life that He is indeed Lord. And in our life, then He will bring us, if He is our Lord, He is going to bring us more and more into that agreement that is of His own ways. We are not in such agreement. It has all to be broken. Joseph is not, Simeon is not, and ye will take Benjamin away. All these things are against me. Are against me. My son shall not go down with you. Nope. He shall not. But the famine continues. Why does the famine continue? Because Jacob's Lord, He makes that continue. And He's going to bring Jacob into agreement. That doesn't happen overnight, does it? Did you ever ask, they say, Lord, give me so to pray rightly, could it be? Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Because I do not pray it with my heart. And the Lord more and more in their life. And then He makes them poorer. And then He brings them more and more to agree. Until Jacob says, take my son. Take my son. And if I be bereaved of my children, I am bereaved. It is the Lord. And now that is the way. More and more. Where is the Lord leading? Where is He leading His church in that? The chariots. The chariots so are going to come to pick them up soon. The chariots of the greater Joseph. And to bring them. To bring them into His presence. There they may be in his care. And there they may dwell with him, the greater Joseph, forever and forever. And he will bring them into that land of Goshen. And he will take care of them as no man is able to take care of them, him. And no man able to take care of himself. And why? Because he has made him his own property. His own property. He is watching over. And that is now where he's going to bring them and where everything is leading. As Lord, everything is leading there. In the life of that people. Everything on the outside. Everything on the inside. O congregation, is he also our Lord? Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, make us one of thy own. We have our own will. Wilt thou teach us to do thy will and to be in agreement always? Draw us, Lord. We will run after thee. Thou art divine. Thou hast all the power in heaven and in earth. Oh, give a cry from the heart of young and old in this thy holy day for that great blessing of becoming thy property. Wilt thou dismiss us with thy blessing? Be with us in this week. Remember us as a consistory when we hope to meet. Remember us when we hope to gather in a service to commemorate thy ascension into heaven. Next week, the confession class, wilt thou remember them also when they hope here to stand and to give that most solemn confession. Care for all that mourn. Keep from sickness and watch over all that are sick. Forgive all our sins for Jesus' sake. Amen. 125, 1, 2, 6, and 7. O royal bride, give heed and to my words attend. For Christ the King forsake the world and every former friend. 1, 2, 6, and 7 of Psalter 125. receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessings.